Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
You gonna go see Superman?
I'm glad you asked. I love Superman movies.
Really?
And 2 weeks ago, I saw that this was coming out, and I said, oh, Katie, we should go see Superman in a couple weeks.
So you knew that Superman, which of these should I play first, 18 or 19? Probably the...
18.
You don't even know what I'm talking
19.
About. Stop it.
Yeah, I would play 18 first, because that sets the stage.
See, 18.
I think James is the director. Sean's the actor. Sean Gunn is one of the guys in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
And he is, I can't remember what his name is. It doesn't really matter.
He's the guy that shoots the arrows around?
No.
That's not him.
Not until the end.
Ah.
Because the guy who
Spoiler.
Shoots the guy who shoots the arrows around, who says, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. If you say Mary Poppins in my house, it gets repeated every time with, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
I don't even know that line.
At the end of, I think it's Guardians 1, the guy who does whistle the arrows around, I don't know, it doesn't matter. He's like descending from the air, and I think he has an umbrella or something. And it's in the middle of he's descending in the air with an umbrella, and he's in the middle of his like battle scene, and he's like, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. And it's a great line. And Mary Poppins is the Disney queen, which is my fave. But it's the guy at the end who's like trying to learn how to do the whistle thing with the arrow. That's Sean Gunn.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas movie?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good because the girl who plays, what's her name? Lotus or?
The bug?
The bug.
Mantis.
Mantis. I was close. Mantis. She's really funny in that.
Yes. She's funny. Guardians, we just finished Shang-Chi, which is the first movie that comes after Endgame in the timeline. We didn't watch any of those. I was like, forget about it. I'm not watching any of those.
Oh.
So the MCU timeline, the good one, starts with Captain America, the first one, and it ends with Endgame. Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched these movies... Ethan enters the room like Kramer. If you haven't watched these movies, what is wrong with you? Watch the movies. They're fantastic. Ethan, do you agree? Do you disagree?
I love the MCU. It's so good.
Beyond that, like, does it continue past Endgame for you?
Not at the level that it was, but some of the movies have still been solid. No Way Home.
Yeah,
was phenomenal from a nostalgia.
So that's Superman.
No, that's
Spider-Man. And all the Spider-Man movies are well
good.
Worth the watch. The Jake Gyllenhaal one is my least favorite.
I enjoyed Shang-Chi.
WandaVision.
WandaVision was really good as well.
I liked Loki season one too.
I thought both seasons of Loki were pretty good.
WandaVision and Loki are not movies; they're series,
on
Disney Plus.
Yes.
So, if you have not watched these movies, it's such a massive undertaking. But listen, you could spend like a year of Friday nights, or whenever your free time is, watching a movie, and the fact that you can watch them. Not in their release timeline, like, oh, this one was released in 2017, this one was released in 2018. They have a story timeline. We watched Black Widow for the first time. It was a couple weeks ago. We tried to watch it when it came out, which was a couple years ago, but our daughters were too young, and the movie's all about stealing girls and turning them into crazy assassin people. And we're like, we'll just wait on that one. But we watched it. It was good. Made me happy to watch it. It's like nostalgic with the series.
I missed. Have you watched Guardians 3 yet?
I think so.
That one, because you were talking about the Mary Poppins quote, and that's not from that one,
That's two.
Two.
So, who are the main characters in Guardians 3?
So Guardians 3 is the one that specifically looks back on Rocket, the raccoon, and his past. And
yes,
like walks
I thought
through.
It was not the good one.
Really?
I didn't like that one.
Oh my gosh, that was by far my favorite Guardians.
But maybe if we're rewatching them, so we're continuing on through the timeline past Endgame this time. We've never done that before.
Okay.
So maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
no.
I'll like it the next time around.
It's been different because Marvel's going through this really odd phase, I think, mm-hmm. is how you could put it, because they're kind of transitioning from the staples, right, of the MCU, which was Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., and Captain America, Chris Evans, and some of these other mm-hmm. big names. And the transition, that's hard to do. That's hard to do when you've, like you said, the MCU's been around so long, and you've fallen in love with these characters, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're moving on.
The greatest,
it's a challenge.
The greatest thing about this series is that they told great stories of people who were virtuous, for the most part, virtuous people who had character flaws that could be intermittently relatable to any of us. Like, you can watch a Doctor Strange movie and you're not, I hope if you are this person, you're listening to the show, but you're probably not the world's greatest surgeon, brain surgeon. But this character has an enormous ego, incredibly narcissistic, but he's the best at what he does. So he's kind of got, in his mind, permission to be this way. And then he's humbled, and then he's a superhero, so, and so on and so forth. But you can watch these stories with dynamic characters who work within them. And of course, you have at the center of all of it, Robert Downey Jr., who is the heartbeat of the MCU and the most perfect character arc of all of them. But they're great stories, and they're just great stories. There's no, like, all right, everybody sit down, it's time to learn a lesson. There's no force feeding of some sort of virtue that isn't about a character's virtue and their story arc. It's about you as the audience member's virtue and your story arc. And it's a good thing that you came and paid $20 to watch this overpriced movie, because you're about to learn a lesson about you and how you can be a better person. We've gone through that. America has, on the whole, said, I am zero interested in that. I've seen a lot of people, Snow White, which we talked a lot about mm-hmm. on the show. Snow White is on Disney Plus. I see a lot of people commenting right now, wait until it was on Disney Plus and watch it. It's really not that bad of a movie. That's what they keep saying. Which is even more interesting to me. I haven't watched it yet. I might watch it. I don't know. It's even more interesting that people are saying regularly, I watched it and it's really not that bad of a movie. That just shows how much this woke nonsense absolutely has no place in our entertainment world as a force-fed lesson for the audience to learn, where these much more virtuous directors and actors and actresses and writers and producers that they're going to teach us. That we're all just sitting around waiting to be told how we're going to behave in the future. Like, everything they do is this piece of art that reflects the current state of our community and our culture. And if they didn't make this film, we wouldn't know how bad we actually were being.
It is exactly what the movie is about, I think. That, like, we support our people, you know? We love our immigrants. We love... Yes, Superman is an immigrant. And yes, the people that we support in this country are immigrants. And if you don't like that, then you're not American.
Okay, so Sean Gunn is now handing out the American card and telling us who gets to be and who doesn't get to be American, which is really ironic when he's talking about immigrants who are not American, who we Americans are not kind enough to. And this is after, that's Sean Gunn, this is after James Gunn made the comment about Superman, that's the movie that they've just made, that they've put out, supposed to be a big epic production, that Superman came out and said, this James Gunn, the director, said that this is a movie about an immigrant and how unkind Americans can be to immigrants. That's where you pissed me off, mister. When you want to make, if you want to make a snide wink wink, it's not really a subtle comment about how Superman is an immigrant, I can probably be like, okay, yes, he's an immigrant. Okay. I would call him an alien. But you could, I mean, okay, fine. But you're going to slip in here the unkind nature of the billions of dollars you'd like to make off of Americans in the course, how much money has this guy grossed? How much money have Americans spent on James Gunn's career?
James Gunn, he's made a lot of money.
Lot of money from all you a-holes out there. How dare you, unkind Americans? Finally, in 2025, I will show you exactly how you could be more kind to immigrants because of Superman?
But it worked, didn't it?
I hope nobody goes to see this movie. I hope you stream it when it gets to streaming if you really love Superman, Ryan.
I do love Superman. I think this was part of their planned PR, was to drop something socially about the movie, because I don't think it was getting much attention.
I did not know, but to me, as a non-Superman type of person, did not know this was coming out, but if it was told to me, it would not register in the memory to recall at a later time. So did it cross my path? Possibly. I just didn't pay attention to it. But if you're a Superman person like yourself,
which I am,
then you see that a Superman movie's coming out, you lean in, you're interested.
Yeah, I was interested before the controversy. Now I'm like, really?
Are you less interested?
I don't even know if I'm going to go see it now because of the stupid controversy. But the point is that Superman is an immigrant. He's an alien. But he grew up in Kansas, fully assimilated, and represents all American values.
True.
So in that sense, you'd be like, hey, I guess I'm pro-immigration if that's the goal. But also, hang on, before we get past the canon here, General Zod is also an immigrant, and those are the kind of immigrants we don't want. He's a former Kryptonian military general. He's a bad guy. So you got to take both sides on this if you're going to look at the canon.
What?
I wish that the director, or it was Sean Gunn that said that. I wish that he would have mentioned him specifically.
General Zod.
General Zod had good intentions.
Superman actor Nathan Fillion made a comment on this as well.
James has said that Superman is an immigrant story, that it is political. MAGA today was getting a little upset that he called Superman an immigrant. I wanted to get your reaction.
somebody needs a hug. It's just a movie, guys. It's just a movie.
Amen to that. That's the way to answer that question. And I don't know who this Variety reporter is or whatever. It says Variety on the video that we're playing. Let people infer that it's about illegal immigration. If there are people who in this great country that we live in go to the movie theater and like look to your loved one, you're like, do you know what? This is just like the immigrants coming from across the southern border. These people come here and they're treated so poorly. The parallels, the correlation is uncanny. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. I was raised in a Lutheran education. I see Christ-like imagery everywhere. And I'm just going to say this. I think Tony Stark is like a savior. I think he is a savior character. At the end, the story arc there, is he flawed? Yes. Was Jesus flawed? No. But when I watch it and I see him sacrifice himself, I think that's Christ-like.
You're going to love the end of Harry Potter.
I've seen the Harry Potter. I watched it last year for the first time. And yes, is there C.S. Lewis navigating throughout the course of the entire thing? Yes, to me. But why would the author come out and be like, I just want everyone to know that this is a Jesus series? If you want to imply that, that's fine. If you want to infer some sort of tether that you have to a very important thing in your life, maybe it be your Christian faith, maybe it be your religious faith in government, I don't care. But why in the world would the people who want the money from all of those people be like, Americans are unkind. They hate immigrants like Superman. I'm not here. I don't understand. I don't think you understand the concept of more money.
Truth, justice, and the American way. Why does MAGA hate this? It's the stupidest message. I bet the immigration thing is not even in this movie. I bet you watch it and you go, what in the world were they talking about? They just made something up right before it comes out.
Like Quick Rick says, is this a DEI Superman? I don't know.
I don't think it will be.
I'll never know. And then again, to the point of Snow White, my daughter watched it. She asked in the other room, she's like, can I go watch Snow White, the new Snow White? And one of my kids was like, no. I'll just be honest. It was my son. And I go, Charlie. I was like, why? He's like, you don't want her watching that. I go, I don't care if she watches it. She's 9. She can watch it. And then we'll talk about it afterwards. But we're not paying extra money to support her as an actress. People, learn your lesson, for the love. All right, X's and Y. No. Local news and sports. When we come back, you got another one?
No, but yes, I do. But I want to hear your dream story at some point. We have to punt that to tomorrow?
Mm-mm.
All right.
Mm-mm. I will tell my dream story. We might punt X's and Y's.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
we were supposed
to
have Trisha in with us, and she got called into a meeting.
Oh, well, that works out perfectly.
Okay, we'll do X's and Y's tomorrow. I'll tell my lucid dream story, one that I haven't told anybody in my family, at 2:30. Let's go. We'll be right back.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out. Sports and local.
And now, Ethan's nervous presentation of local news.
Well, you got it, Ethan. We're counting on you.
Yeah,
you
know? Go, Ethan.
Let's go, Irfan.
You know, that one might be my favorite so far. So,
we're in your corner, buddy.
You know,
go get him.
It wasn't, you know,
champ.
At one point when I started this, I was like, maybe this is the segment that I'll like starting put in like one of my favorite songs or something.
And I thought you were gonna say effort.
That quick. That always gets put in. And then I was like, you know, then it would just, my favorite music would constantly be getting destroyed by ho 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 hold up.
That's so true.
I was like, you know what, we're gonna not do that. All right, guys, local news time. If you ever have any stories where you're interested in hearing a little bit more about them, or you see an article title that interests you in the area, send it to me on Twitter or X, at echan7. Tag me in it, DM me, whatever.
Do a show prep for him, please.
Please, yeah, we'll take that happily. Okay, this is kind of local.
You're doing a good job.
Thanks, I appreciate you, Ryan. I can't believe those words just came out of my mouth. After some debate, it felt like a few weeks ago, over trying to keep the Kansas City Chiefs and the Royals in Missouri, they ended up, it looked like they were going to be getting a lot of funding from the state, and that has kind of...
The people of the state, yeah.
Just yeah, that's right.
Super specific.
Thank you. And that's been changed. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe's offense hinted that the Chiefs and Royals won't be getting additional state funding after the team's owners asked Kansas lawmakers to extend their stadium financing deals. The Kansas Star Bonds was willing to cover up to 70% of the cost of a new stadium. Those were supposed to expire at the end of the month as they were trying to debate or negotiate, I guess, the prices and what and how much money everyone would get. But now, Mike Kehoe pulls that funding as they extend that deadline. And here's my question, because this was getting discussed a decent amount, and I know that the Cardinals were supposed to get some funding from this too for upgrades to their ballpark. Do you guys care at all if the Chiefs or the Royals move to Kansas? Does it matter to you guys at all?
I'm an Illinois resident, which is an important thing for me to say. I care zero. I don't think a lot of people on our side necessarily even know that they're not in Kansas already.
I am an Illinois resident as well, and I also care zero and added nothing to the conversation.
Brad?
As an Illinois resident, I also care zero. Like, if they're here in Missouri, great. If they're in Kansas, great. I don't care.
Sure. Yeah. No. So, I'm curious if there were any Missouri residents besides myself in the room, if that would change the conversation. Perhaps it wouldn't, though. I don't know. Just kind of interesting there. We'll see if.
Is it just because we're on the right side, the east side of the state, that none of us care?
That's kind of what the question is, right? Is it have to do with the state line there, or because I think that there might be some people in St. Louis specifically for the Chiefs that might care, but they were the ones that were looking more likely to stay in the first place. It seemed like more of the conversation was going around the Royals, but we'll have kind of have to wait and see what direction that goes in. Like I said, semi-local, not super local. Real quick here, we have a couple of minutes before we have to wrap this. Did you guys see that St. Louis is getting a new sports team in the area? Anyone?
WNBA?
No. Batman?
No.
Pickleball.
The St. Louis Nellies are the newest team in the National Thoroughbred League.
Yes. These are horses?
Yeah.
The St. Louis Nellies will be making their debut at Fairmont Park later this month. And if the name didn't hint on already, they are owned by Nelly.
Is this like going to watch the Savannah Bananas but horses?
No, Ryan, I don't think so.
The bananas are almost in town.
According to the National Thoroughbred League, Grammy winner Nelly is a large stakeholder in the St. Louis Nellies, a team relocating from Seattle. On July 19th, Nelly will host the first ever National Thoroughbred League Nelly Cup at Fairmont Park in Collinsville. Admission to the event is free.
Is he throwing out the first pitch?
What would be the equivalent of throwing out the first pitch in horse racing, Ryan?
Do you root for teams? Poop is that how scooping. This goes now?
Poop and scooping.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You get to scoop up some excrement.
And like throw it like down the track?
Yeah, you just kind of fling it into the crowd.
Why does it always go in that direction?
You brought it up.
Why with you? No, I did not bring it up. You did.
I didn't say that. So, Annie said that.
Time it was on Annie.
Sorry.
Well, Nelly is once again giving back to the city here. Love to see the St. Louis local doing his thing. And, you know, the rest, really just St. Louis sports news. Brendan Donovan, you guys see he got elected as an all-star for the upcoming all-star game.
No pitchers, huh?
No pitchers. Thought maybe Sonny Gray would sneak in there, but he does not end up getting the vote from the players. Donovan was the second highest voted National League member, though. The starters get voted by fans, and the backups, the reserves, all get voted by players. So it's kind of cool to see Brendan Donovan get so many votes, highly regarded among the lead. And that is it for Ethan's local and nerve-wracking, whatever it was called today, news.
Nervous. Hold
up. Check it out. Sports and local.
And now, Ethan's nervous presentation of local news.
If you want to make a suggestion of what we should call this segment that is Ethan's baby, you can submit it to the YouTube live chat. You can tweet it at Radio Wiggins. You can tweet stories at Echan with 2N7.
Mm-hmm.
Echan7. And you can also record it. You could do the voiceover yourself for it by finding us on the Odyssey app. When you see the play button for 97.1 FM Talk on the Odyssey app, next to it is it a microphone?
Mm-hmm.
To microphone record? Button. You just click it and you record right into it. It comes to us. And you can record it and then you can check and see if it's the one you want to send. But if you do a voiceover, you might hear yourself introducing Irfan's Blurfs.
Irfan's Blurfs.
Stay right here. I'll tell you about my lucid dream when we come back. Don't go away.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Harkening back to about 1250 in Wiggins America, you were talking about lucid dreaming. We were talking about whether or not we've ever lucid dreamt.
Dreamt? I think that's correct.
Dreamed? I dreamed a dream. And I was saying, I don't know if I had, but then I thought about it. There was one dream where I was 100% aware that I was in a dream. And I felt it was so, there's just something that is tangible about a dream like that, where you're in your dream and you understand what's going on. It's a very wild experience to have. Have you do you?
Yeah, but it's been years. When I was a teenager, I had a couple lucid dreams where I knew I was dreaming. Since then, the older I get, the less I even remember my dreams.
I wish I could remember the year that it took place. It was within the last 3 years or so, maybe 4 years. And this I don't know what this was. It's probably just a dream, whatever. But I remember vividly being in a kitchen that was supposed to be my kitchen. And I was doing dishes and I was looking out the window and I think that there were people outside, so maybe we had company. And like the kitchen that I was in, I was incredibly familiar with it. I knew where everything was. So it wasn't the kitchen that I have right now or have had in my past, but it was in my dream, like I knew it to be my home. And I think that this was, I feel like it was at least years after my grandma passed away. And this is the grandma that passed away in 2020. She had a heart attack. She was 95. Wonderful life. I'm fully convinced that she just was ready to go home to be with her savior and her husband. And that is an understanding that gives me peace. It's when your loved one is 95 and is living a fully independent life and they have a heart attack at 95, I think she was maybe in the hospital for a week or two. It's hard to want more from that. It actually seems pretty selfish to want more from that. But it's also something that you don't prepare for. It's not a long sickness. It's not something that you're kind of coming to grips with the reality while you're watching a loved one deteriorate. So it kind of hits you abruptly, you know? And I think it's a blessing to not have to watch your loved one go through something like that. If you live to be 95 and then one day you're like, I'm going to see Jesus, then, you know, God's blessings to you. So in this dream, which was maybe a year or two after, I was standing in my kitchen and I was just like doing mundane kitchen tasks. And in my dream, I had this understanding that I needed to turn around and look around. And my grandma was standing there and I knew that she had passed in my dream, but she was standing there like in my dream in the flesh. And she grabbed my hands, and I've said this before in the show, but I always like to say this again because I think it like brings you in touch with the people who matter most to you. The people who you know the best and often who you love the most, you can picture their hands. Can you picture your father's hands? There are people who are listening right now and your parents have passed a long time ago, but I bet you know what your mother's hands look like. I bet you know what your child's hands look like. If you had 20 people line up and all you could see were the people's hands, you could pick your loved one's hands out of that lineup. To me, there's just something. I can close my eyes and I can see the hands of all of my grandparents. And I remember in that dream, like she held my hands. And I don't think she said anything to me, but she didn't. When she looked at me, it was like she gave me a great sense of concern and that I had this complete understanding that she needed me to care for people in my life. That she had a great, and I don't know what the concern was. Now, I'm not going to get into like all of my business, but it was, she came to me and she held my hands and I looked into her eyes and I knew I was dreaming and I knew she wasn't real. I knew she had passed away. I know with full certainty that she's with Jesus. And she held my hand and it was like a plea from her to care for my family. And I like wanted more. And like right after that happened, the kids ran into the house and I turned to look and see who ran in the house. And I turned back and she was gone. And that's my dream. But
how long ago was that?
A couple years, maybe.
How long after she passed away?
A couple years, maybe. She passed away in 2020. Okay. I feel like it would have been like, I think it was well after Molly was born. So maybe like 22, 23.
But it stuck with you different than other dreams.
Oh my gosh, yes! Like I know how that dream felt right now. And I know that the kitchen in my dreams had yellow curtains.
When you woke up, what was your emotion?
It took my breath away.
Like, good?
Like I had just been with my grandma.
But it's there's a piece about it, right?
It was unsettling.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It was so it's not necessarily like whatever the content of that dream, like, you know, of course, everybody listening right now is interpreting that dream, and I'm sure everybody has thoughts. I've had my thoughts, but the realness of that experience, it was almost suffocating. It felt so real. Like, I felt her hands hold my hands. You know how, like, grandmas, like, hold your hands? Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of it. I don't have a fear of it. But the breath, I mean, when I say breathtaking, you ever wake up from something like that and you lay in bed? It's kind of like something a kid would do, but I still do it as an adult. Like, you freeze, because if you move, then it's like you acknowledge your presence in the room or something like that. Like, you just freeze. And I laid there frozen, and I couldn't really, what having a dream like that was way out of the ordinary. And I'm a dreamer. Like, I dream about things. I dream about the stupidest, ridiculous, annoying things nightly. You're trying to do a task, you can't get it done. Why? I don't know. But I guess there's certainly some psychology behind that.
Terminator's chasing you.
No.
I'm not saying that I have that. I was just saying that's a normal thing.
Mostly just, you know, like I said, I made the point before, I come to work, and a lot of times it's like I've been on vacation and I come to work and nobody's here, nobody's doing anything, or maybe you guys are here and you're just sitting there not talking. And
that's that's kind of normal. Well, for me,
depends
not
on
Brad.
The segment.
Brad's always moving.
but it's not, it's like I'm in my own existence and nobody is doing the things. It could be the same thing at home. It could be me trying to get to work on the road and there's just a billion obstacles. Like, that's my normal dream. This was totally, it didn't feel like a dream. I can't explain it, but that's the closest I feel like. And in my dream, I was 100% aware that I was dreaming. And all I wanted to do was talk to my grandma. I wanted to talk to her, and I had so many things that I wanted to say that I, like, couldn't pick one. And the second that I looked away to the door, when the door opened and people came in, she was gone.
Last question for you. Was it unsettling because of the experience itself, or was it unsettling because of what she said?
She didn't say anything.
Well, take care
she
of your
just,
family.
She, but I mean, that's like, in the dream, she didn't say anything, but she looked at me, and that's the thought
message
I had. That was
okay.
That to me seemed to be what I dreamt. Like, I don't remember hearing her voice, and I think the unsettling thing was it felt so real. I wondered what it was. It didn't frighten me. Like, I wasn't like worried about what was going to happen next. It was just, why did that happen?
It was jarring.
Very jarring. To the extent that, like, I'm not, like, hoping for that to happen again. I don't wonder where my grandma is. I know where she is. With certainty, I know where she is. I don't know. Rick said, were you with her when she died? Nope, it was 2020. Just my mom. Because nobody else could visit her. It's the stupidest thing. So I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't need to know what it is either. I don't, like I said, I don't have a sense of, I don't have a sense of like a displacement about it this far in. But boy, I know, like, whatever that was different.
Yeah, what's amazing about it is once you tell the story, which you just did, most people will go, oh, you know, they're not going to look at you like you're crazy. And a lot of them will go, I had something similar. I've had something mm-hmm. that I don't really talk about it either. And because I used to do a show that was about supernatural stuff. And you wouldn't believe how many people, once they'd find out, oh, you're kind of in that world. Okay, interesting. Let me tell you about a story that happened to me once. Over and over and over and over. It's really much more common than you think it is. But it also is uncommon for each person. Like it's something you never forget your whole life. I met a guy at a flea market once who was 80-something years old. He's since passed away. That he told me once he heard the story and just knew, oh, you're a safe person to talk to. Let me tell you about something that happened when I was 25. He was over 80. He'd never forgotten it.
Mm. I will say, Rick said... and he's making me cry, so I'm trying to keep my act together here. he asked if I was with her when she died, and I said no, and he said that I didn't get to say goodbye, and she made sure you got to see her.
Wow.
What I will say is that the last conversation, we had Zoom conversations with her because we couldn't go see her. So my Evelyn, who's 9, is named after my grandma. She was 4 years old. She was 4, just turned 4 at the time. And she had learned the Lord's Prayer. And she had like just recently learned the Lord's Prayer. And so, I mean, when you're sitting on a Zoom call with your grandma, and she's in the hospital and you're sitting at home and you've been Zooming for half the year because of stupid COVID. At some point, you sit and spend time together, but you're not necessarily having conversation the whole time. And we were getting ready to wrap up. And I said to my grandma, I said, oh, Evelyn has something she wants to show you. She learned how to say the Lord's Prayer. And so my grandma was very happy to hear that. And so Evelyn said the Lord's Prayer to my grandma over that Zoom call, and then we said goodbye, and that was the last time we talked to her.
Wow.
So that was our goodbye. Wow, this is a heavy segment. We should talk about Superman next.
Or the YouTube live chat poll.
I've got a good video when we come back. Let's take a quick break. Don't go away.
Wide open.
Marco pointed it out. I was going to leave the clock. So as president, you have the power. If I go into the State Department or Department of Commerce or Treasury, if I see anything that I like, I'm allowed to take it. Do you believe this? So I'm in Marco's. I see this gorgeous clock, grandfather clock. And there it is. I said, Marco. He didn't know about it. I had to read him the rule and regulation. I said, Marco, I love this clock. Look at it. It's beautiful. He said, what clock? I said, the clock that's in the other room is incredible, and nobody gets to see it there. Marco, I tried to talk him into it first, and it sort of worked, and then I had to use a little more. I said, I'd love to take that clock out and put it in the cabinet room. He said, no, are you serious? I said, Marco, I have the right to do it, Marco. And he said, all right, what the hell? So that's his contribution to the cabinet room. But it's, by the way, it's an incredible clock.
There's President Trump at the cabinet meeting today. Marco Rubio, of course, the Secretary of State, sitting to President Trump's immediate right. And I just find that story incredibly endearing, coming from the president being like, Marco, I'm taking your clock. It's beautiful.
I guess he has the right.
He stated the statute that says he can take what he wants.
I don't know. Is it Seinfeld when Kramer is selling Cuban cigars and the guy goes, I like that jacket.
I don't know. You're talking yes. the wrong
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That's what it reminded me of.
The YouTube live chat poll for today. How should the Trump administration handle the illegal immigration crisis? Deport all illegal immigrants? Legal status for some workers or pathway to citizenship? Brad, what do you think?
I think that they should deport all illegal immigrants. You are not here legally. Go back and come back in the right way, and then we'll talk about citizenship or a pathway after that.
Brian?
Trump tried to do something different than this in 2018, and the left actually blocked him. And then they imported as many illegal immigrants as they could. So you really have to deport all illegal immigrants now.
Yeah, I'm for deporting all illegal immigrants. But my caveat to that is I really hope that this administration gets behind talking about what happens after that and how we can improve the current immigration system to better serve our needs as a country. Our needs as a country have to come before the needs of everybody else, right? It's not a crazy statement, is it?
It's why anybody would disagree with that.
You sound insane.
Are we not an enormously generous country?
The most generous in the world.
The most generous in the world. So it's not like to say that we do have to make sure that we protect American interests too. It shouldn't be the last thought. It should be the first thought. And we will become a country that is more able to bless people and countries and people around the world if we have our house in order. And we have to prioritize it. And it is very sad, emotionally upsetting, and frustrating that the problem is the way it is, that it has to be rectified this way. It is incredibly unfortunate, and it is important to look to the people who caused this problem when you have that anger.
I don't know, Annie. I think you're pretty crazy for
Thank
that
you.
Take personally.
Yeah. There you go.
200 and
Eat Chan 7 on X.
Let got a happen. Transition today. The results for the YouTube live chat poll. That's
there
for you,
go.
Ryan. 275 votes. How should the Trump administration handle the illegal immigration crisis? 61% say deport all illegal immigrants. 26% say legal status for some workers, and 12% say pathway to citizenship.
All right. Well, there you have it. Those are the results of today's poll. A reminder, you can stream us on the Odyssey app. You can keep it right there on 97.1 FM Talk because the Mark Reardon Show is coming up next.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.